Then the Lord said to Moses, tell the Israelites to turn back and encamp near Pi Hahiroth, between Migdol and the sea. They are to encamp by the sea directly opposite Baal Zaphon. Pharaoh will think the Israelites were wandering around the land in confusion, hemmed in by the desert. And I will harden Pharaoh's heart, and he will pursue them, but I will gain glory for myself through Pharaoh and all his army, and the Egyptians will know that I am the Lord. So the Israelites did this. And when the king of Egypt was told that the people had fled, Pharaoh and his officials changed their minds about them and said, what have we done? We have lost the Israelites. Go and have lost their services. So he had his chariot made ready and took his army with him. He took 600 of the best chariots along with all the other chariots of Egypt with officers over them. The Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, so that he pursued the Israelites who were marching out boldly. The Egyptians, all Pharaoh's horses and chariots, the horsemen and the troops, pursued the Israelites and overtook them as they camped by the sea near Pi Hahiroth, opposite Baal Zaphon. As Pharaoh approached, the Israelites looked up, and there were the Egyptians marching after them. They were terrified and cried out to the Lord. They said to Moses, was it because there was no graves in Egypt that you brought us to the desert to die? What have you done to us by bringing us out of Egypt? Didn't we say to you in Egypt, leave us alone. Let us serve the Egyptians. It would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the desert. And Moses answered the people, do not be afraid. Stand firm, and you will see the deliverance of the Lord will bring you today. The Egyptians you see today, you will never see again. The Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still. Then the Lord said to Moses, why are you crying out to me? Tell the Israelites to move on. Raise your staff and stretch out your hand over the sea to divide the water so that the Israelites can go through the sea on dry ground. I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians so that they will go in after them, and I will gain glory through Pharaoh and all his army, through his chariots and his horsemen. The Egyptians will know that I am the Lord when I gain glory through Pharaoh, his chariots, and his horsemen. Then the angel of God, who had been traveling in front of Israel's army, withdrew and went behind them. The pillar of cloud also moved from in front and stood behind them, coming between the armies of Egypt and Israel. Throughout the night, the cloud brought darkness to one side and light to the other side. So neither went near the other all night long. Then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and all that night the Lord drove the sea with a strong east wind and turned it into dry land. The waters were divided, and the Israelites went through the sea on dry ground with a wall of water on their right and on their left. The Egyptians pursued them, and all Pharaoh's horses and chariots and horsemen followed them into the sea. During the last watch of the night, the Lord looked down from the pillar of fire and cloud at the Egyptian army and threw it into confusion. He made the wheels of their chariots come off so that they had difficulty driving. And the Egyptians said, let us get away from the Israelites. The Lord is fighting for them against Egypt. Then the Lord said to Moses, stretch out your hand over the sea so that the waters may flow back over the Egyptians and their chariots and their horsemen. And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea at daybreak, and the sea went back to its place. The Egyptians were fleeing toward it, and the Lord swept them into the sea. The water flowed back and covered the chariots and horsemen and the entire army of Pharaoh that had followed the Israelites into the sea. Not one of them survived. But the Israelites went through the sea on dry ground with a wall of water on their right and on their left. That day the Lord saved Israel from the hands of the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians lying dead on the shore. And when the Israelites saw the great power the Lord displayed against the Egyptians, the people feared the Lord and put their trust in Him and in Moses, His servant. I'd like to paint this picture in words, and then I have another picture for you and an application for us today. In the foyer of the auditorium on the college campus that I was graduated from, there's a mural of about 150 feet long, 75 feet on one side and 75 feet on the other side of the foyer, done by Mr. H. Willard Ortlett. It takes God's history from creation to the second coming. I'm no artist. I'm just a humble preacher. But I'd like to picture that which we find in the chapter that we've read to you this morning. The picture begins with God's providence. Do you believe in God's providence? You say this to some people, then they say you're fatalist. What shall happen will happen. No, I'm not a fatalist, neither are you fatalists. But we are those who trust in the leading of the Lord. And the picture that we have before us here in the 14th chapter of Exodus begins many years before. It begins with Joseph. Joseph sold into Egypt by his brothers because they hated him. He was sold into slavery by the Midianites. He was falsely accused by Mrs. Potiphar. He was imprisoned. He interprets the dreams of the baker and the butler, and this is to his benefit. For the butler says, "Now I remember my fault," as he stood before Pharaoh. After Pharaoh has his dream and nobody can interpret it, they call in Joseph, and Joseph interprets the dream, for he says, "The dream, the interpretation of dreams is not of man, but it is of God." And after Joseph interprets the dream for Pharaoh, Pharaoh says, "You're the man I need for prime minister of Egypt." And he takes care of the food problem. He collects grain for 7 years and then distributes it to the people for 7 years. And some of the people that he distributes it to are his own brethren. As you know by this time, I read my Bible through completely every year, or at least endeavor to do so. And as I'm reading the book of Genesis, and I read concerning Joseph's brethren who come down to find food in Egypt, I have completed the passage that I'm assigned to read for that day, but I read more because it's a touching scene where Joseph says, "I'm your brother. I'm Joseph. I'm your brother." And you know the story. Pharaoh sends wagons to go and get Jacob and all of his household affairs, and brought them down into Egypt, placed them in Goshen. They lived there for many years under the good hand of Pharaoh. And Exodus begins with, there arose another Pharaoh who knew not Joseph. Genesis ends with a coffin in Egypt. And Exodus begins with a Pharaoh who knew not Joseph. They served in servitude for many, many years. As generation after generation is born and dies off, until finally, when God gets Moses to the place where he has forgotten himself and he remembers God, Moses comes back into Egypt. He picks up a spokesman in the person of his brother Aaron, and they go to Pharaoh. And you'll remember the 10 plagues that fall upon Egypt. And finally, the last plague, where the firstborn of man and of beast dies. And the service of the Passover is instituted, and Egypt moves out. Their loins gird about themselves, their bakery raising vessels tied on their backs as they eat the unleavened bread, and they go out and they leave Egypt to go to the promised land, the land that was promised to Abraham, their father. Yes, they went out with permission. But when Pharaoh realized that he had lost his servants, his slaves, some of his own people, for it is estimated that there were over 2.5 million people that left Egypt on that night. And Pharaoh says, let's go after them. Let's go after them. And his chariots and his army follow after the Israelites, and the Israelites are on the shore of the Red Sea. As I was meditating upon this particular passage, I couldn't help but think of a statement that Brother Will McNeil made concerning this. He says, they say the Red Sea, a sea of reeds, but it must have been quite a deep sea of reeds to take care of and to slay the Egyptians. But the point that I want you to see in this particular picture that I'm drawing for you with in words, God says to Moses, notice the words. In verse 15, then the Lord said to Moses, why are you crying out to me? Tell the Israelites to move on. Raise your staff and stretch out your hand over the sea to divide the water so that the Israelites can go through the sea on dry ground. I ask you this morning, do you ever stand on the shore of the Red Sea in your life? Thinking, if I trust the Lord and I take one step more, I'm going to get my shoes all muddy. What if the water doesn't part? Dare I trust him with that which faces me? Now, the problem that faced you is altogether different than the problem that faces me. And the problem that faces you is altogether different than the problem that faces the one who sits to your right and the one who sits to your left. This is a personal matter. Are you willing to trust God in the situation where you are? Are you willing to walk out into the Red Sea? It's always interesting to me, the picture that I had when I was a youngster was a lane about so wide where individual people walked across. Well, this would have taken many months for 2.5 million people to have gone over. But the picture that you have here is the picture that the Red Sea has parted widely, widely. Also, there's no mud. There's no mud. It says they walked on dry ground. Not only did God cause the water to come up on the bank on this side and to come up on the bank on this side, but he caused the mud that it's in the bottom of the sea to dry up into dry ground so that Israel could cross the Red Sea. And he'll do it for you, if you're willing to trust him. If you're willing to trust him with that problem that you face before your Red Sea. You know the rest of the story. Pharaoh takes advantage of the parting of the Red Sea, and he marches his chariots and his army into the Red Sea, and we're going to do the same thing. We're going to follow Israel. And God says, enough is enough. And the waters come back over Pharaoh, and Pharaoh is destroyed. And Israel is on the other side of the sea, safe, because of the good hand of the Lord. Now turn with me to the book of Joshua. The book of Joshua, chapter 3. Beginning at verse 1. Early in the morning, Joshua and all the Israelites set out from Shittim and went to the Jordan, where they camped before crossing over. After 3 days, the officers went throughout the camp, giving orders to the people. And when you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God and the priests who are Levites carrying it, you are to move out from your positions and follow it. And then you will know which way to go, since you have never been this way before. But keep a distance of about 1,000 yards between you and the ark. Do not go near it. And Joshua told the people, consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you. And Joshua said to the priest, take up the Ark of the Covenant and pass on ahead of the people. So they took it up and went ahead of them. And the Lord said to Joshua, today I will begin to exalt you in the eyes of all Israel, so that they may know that I am with you as I was with Moses. Tell the priest to carry the Ark of the Covenant. And when you reach the edge of the Jordan's water, go and stand in the river. And Joshua said to the Israelites, come here and listen to the words of the Lord your God. This is how you will know that the living God is among you, and that he will certainly drive out before you the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Hivites, the Perizzites, the Girgashites, the Amorites, and the Jebusites. See, the ark of the covenant of the Lord of all the earth will go into the Jordan ahead of you. Now then, choose 12 men from the tribes of Israel, one from every tribe. And as soon as the priests who carry the ark of the Lord of all the earth, set foot in the Jordan, its waters flowing downstream will be cut off and stand up in a heap. And so when the people broke camp to cross the Jordan, the priests carrying the ark of the covenant went ahead of them. Now the Jordan was at flood stage all during the harvest. Yet as soon as the priests who carried the ark reached the Jordan and their feet touched the water's edge, the water from upstream stopped flowing. It piled up in a heap of a great distance away at a town called Adam in the vicinity of Zarethan. While the water flowing down to the Sea of the Arabah, the Salt Sea, was completely cut off. So the people crossed over opposite Jericho. The priests who carried the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the middle of the Jordan while all Israel passed by, until the whole nation had completed the crossing on dry ground. A lot of time, a lot of years have passed since the Red Sea experience. But the God who brought Israel through the Red Sea was the God that went with them for 40 years. And let me remind you and encourage you by stating the God that was with Israel is the God that's with us. The God of the Old Testament is the God of the New Testament. The God of the Old Testament is the God of the 21st century in which God has allowed us to live. This is the second time that Israel has come up to Kadesh Barnea. The first time, Moses sends 12 spies into the land of Canaan. Go and search it out. Tell us what kind of a land it is. Prove to us that it's a land flowing with milk and honey that God has promised, had promised to our father Abraham. And the 12 spies come back. And there's a majority report and say, we can't do it. The cities are walled cities. The people are giants. And in their eyes and in our eyes, we're like grasshoppers. Parenthesis. Do you suffer from grasshopper syndrome? Do you? Or do you trust God? For Joshua and Caleb says, let us go up and possess the land. Let us go up and possess. We can do it with the help of the Lord. And what so often happens, the majority report, the negative report, was accepted. And God says there will be 40 years that you will wander in the wilderness, until a whole generation that knew my blessings on you as you came through the desert, until that generation has died off. Now they're ready to enter into the land of Canaan for sure. And Joshua calls the elders together and the priests, and he says to them, make preparation to cross over into Canaan. And it's interesting that he says to the children of Israel, follow the priests across the river. There you will know which way to go, since you have never been this way before. You're standing at this time at the Jordan River. And the writer of the book of Joshua says, and the Jordan River is at flood stage during the barley harvest. Ah, what has happened? Your problems have increased. You've never been this way before. We've never been. This generation has never been to Kadesh Barnea. Our fathers, yes. But we've never been here at Kadesh Barnea. And the Jordan is over its banks. It's at flood stage. What are we going to do? And Joshua says, take one step more. Take one step more. Joshua says to the priest, take up the Ark of the Covenant and place the staves on your shoulders and walk toward the Jordan River. You know, God has a sense of humor. I can picture the priests as they came down to the Jordan River. The Ark of the Covenant on their shoulders. Shall I take the next step? What's going to happen when I take the next step in the water? That's the picture. Do you get the picture? Jordan at flood stage. The priests willing to obey God. Willing to obey God and to take that next step into the Jordan. Something they have never done before. And maybe your next step is something you've never done before either. Are you willing to take that step? Once again, the river flows down and the river backs up, and the children of Israel walk through on dry ground. Did you hear that before? Yes, you did this morning. You read it. The children of Israel crossed over Jordan on dry ground. And when they came into Gilgal, they rejoiced and set up a monument out of the stones, the 12 stones that were taken out of the riverbed where the priests had stood. Ah, yes. There's no river. There's no sea in your life and in mine like the Dead Sea. There's no river that we need to cross in your life and in my life like the Jordan River. Even though we haven't gone this way before, the Lord is with us as we take one step more. Now turn with me to 1 Corinthians 10. beginning to read at verse 11 and read through verse 13. These things happened. Now, if you go back into the previous 10 verses, you will read of God's judgment on Egypt, or rather on Israel, where thousands of the Israelites died. These things happened to them as examples and were written down as warnings for us on whom the fulfillment of the ages has come. Not only that which precedes in Paul's writings, but that which we've studied in the Old Testament. These have been written down as warnings for us, that's you and me, on whom the fulfillment of the ages has come. So, if you think you are standing firm, be careful that you don't fall. No temptation has seized you except what is common to man. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, He will also provide a way out so that you can stand up under it. Yes? The children of Israel wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. Because they were not willing to obey the word of the Lord and the word of Joshua and Caleb. But these things have been written down for our benefit. That's the reason why I took this simple truth. And the word applies it to our hearts. Are we willing to take one step more and believe God? For God says, He is faithful. He will not let you be tempted or tried beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted or tried, He will also provide a way out so that you can stand up under it. The Red Sea will part for you. The Jordan River will part for you if you're willing to believe God and take that one step more by faith. Father, You're a great God. You're the only God. We worship You this morning. We praise You this morning. We trust You. We believe in You. We have faith in You. And Lord, bless us as we walk by faith and take that one step more in believing You. Dismiss us with Thy grace and Thy blessing. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.